Gonna do it again. Ride out your storm, man. That's good. Help. That's helpful to remember. It's good to see you. See you this morning. Are any of you gonna smile? Just teasing. I already saw a couple of smiles. You know, this message this morning. I'm excited. My heart is excited in a lot of ways because I know that God is up to something.
Amen.
Do you feel it too?
Yep.
And that's real exciting, isn't it?
Amen.
This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at two verses here and then we're going to move on. Going to bounce around in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And this is in light of where we are as a nation, where we are as individuals, where we are as a church. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 14 says, "For this world is not our permanent home."
Amen.
Do your best to try not to forget that.
Right.
We sure want to be comfortable, don't we? Well, now stop it, Pastor. This world is not our home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come. We're looking for another day. We're living for another kingdom, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's not my kingdom and it's not your kingdom. It's His kingdom that we ought to be living for and looking for and seeking and searching each and every day. This place is not our home, nor anything that it has to offer. Verse 15 in the next verse. Therefore, because this place is not our home, and because we're looking for that eternal home, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Notice it says continual.
Yes.
Sometimes our praise is a sacrifice. Sometimes it's more of a sacrifice than others. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a sacrifice because you realize how good God just was to you. And it's real easy to say, "Lord, thank you so much. You're incredible." And then there's other days where you don't feel like it. And those are the days when it's more of a sacrifice. Where you're like, you know what? It's just tough today. You know? But he says we need to offer in light of eternity being our home. And in light of heaven being our home, that ought to cause us to give continual praise to God.
Amen.
And this next part is where I want to focus this sermon. Proclaiming our allegiance to His name. We want to proclaim allegiance to Christ. That's the theme this morning, is that we proclaim allegiance to Jesus Christ and not everything else in our lives. I am in no way saying that. Matter of fact, I think that a born-again believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who's living for Jesus, is going to be a patriot in America.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
With that being said, America is not my Savior.
That's right.
No president is my Savior.
That's right.
Jesus, my Savior already came, but He's coming back again. Amen. And one of these days He's going to take me home. How about you?
Amen.
Where is our allegiance? That word allegiance, it means an acknowledgement or a confession. To say, "I acknowledge that You are Lord. I confess, Lord Jesus, that You are the Lord of my life. I confess that You are over all things. And therefore I submit myself to You."
Amen.
Today I'm challenging you to pledge allegiance to Christ. More so than you've ever done. More so, follow Him more closely than you've ever known. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at a few verses here. We're going to begin in verse 3. This is the chapter with the Ten Commandments. And the first one says what? "You must not have any other God before Me."
Right.
But Me. Nothing else. What has captured your heart besides Him? Got to be careful with those things. We've got to be careful so that nothing else has captured our heart to where we're running after that. Instead, we got to run after Him.
Amen.
Do you pursue Him? Do you seek Him every day? Do you desire to know Jesus more and more? Or is there something else you're pursuing more than Him? Some of the time find that out in various different ways, where our allegiance lies. We're going to look at verse 4. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind, or an image of anything in the heavens, or on the earth, or in the sea. In verse 5, you must not bow down to them or worship them. We're not to worship anything else. We're not to worship any other. Any other person, any other thing, any other possession, in anything. We're not to worship those things. Worship is to bow down before it, to submit to it, to let it rule and reign in our life. And the only place, the only one whose that place is reserved is for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
Nothing else. Because look what He goes on to say. God says, you must not bow down. Don't make yourself any images. Don't bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection. Look there. Your love, your care, your affection for that other stuff. Man. God's not fooling around, is He?
No.
I wonder why that is. Oh, maybe it's because He understands that when you get sidetracked, then your life just begins to unravel. But when you're focused on Him, He's the source and He's the strength of it anyway. He wants you to live a good and healthy and productive life. He wants to be close to you. He wants you to be close to Him. His words are challenging. Look with me at Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. Jesus says, I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, and here's the question, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?
Yep.
When Jesus comes back, is He going to find any faith on the earth? Is He going to find it in your heart? Is He going to find it in your life? Is your walk going to reveal and demonstrate that you have faith in Christ? Is your life going to demonstrate that you have no affections for other things? Instead, you're in love with Him and Him only. Will He find faith on the earth? The New Living Translation puts it, or how many will He find on the earth with faith? Will He find people who have pledged allegiance to Jesus Christ, or only those who are indifferent about His kingdom? What's He going to find in us? What's He going to find when He comes back? Is He going to find those who have pledged allegiance to Him? Is He going to find those who say, I'm all in, Jesus? Or is He going to find the people who are indifferent about the things of God, indifferent about His kingdom? And speaking of faith, I want to challenge you and give you some homework this week. Everybody say, yay!
Yay!
Hebrews chapter 11. Read Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, or the hall of faith. I just challenge you to read that because, man, there's these people, God used them to do incredible things.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about it is they're not any different than you and I are in most ways. Isn't that cool? Look at Isaiah 31 in verse 1. What sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help? Now, typically, Egypt represents the world or our sinful life. What sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help? Are you looking to the world to help you?
No.
You're going to look for a long, long time. and still be empty and dry. What sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help, trusting their horses, chariots, and charioteers, and depending on the strength of human armies instead of looking to the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. I am thankful to be an American. I am thankful to live in this great country.
Amen.
I truly am. I'm thankful for our new president. I do not agree with everything he's doing. I'm thankful for him, and I am charged by Scripture to pray for him, not to complain about him. If you want to complain about him, take it to the Lord first. Because I can't do anything about it anyway. Except taking it to the Lord.
Amen.
So get behind our president. Pray for him. Pray for him. Don't you realize that the Scripture says that God puts leaders in place? I believe that's Romans 13. Go check that one out too. Man, you're just going to have all kinds of them. And I got some more for you. I'll show you that one later. We are called to pray for him.
Yes.
But you know what? I'm not looking to him. He's our leader. But Jesus leads my life every day.
Amen.
And let's live that way. What do you say?
Amen.
Let's pledge allegiance to Christ. Yeah, I'm not saying not to pledge allegiance to our nation, because we live in a great nation. I'm so thankful. I pledge allegiance to the flag. But I first and foremost pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ. Because guess what? This country hasn't always been here.
Amen.
No country has always been here. But Jesus is always going to be on the throne.
Yeah.
And we can take that to the bank. And he is the one that deserves our allegiance and our obedience. So who are we looking to? Who are we looking to? I'm working to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus.
Amen.
You trust God or don't you? Oh, but Pastor, I don't like some of the things he's doing. I understand. I do not agree with some of the things. Because some of the things are against what I believe that Scripture tells us and teaches.
Amen.
Psalm 118, verse 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes or presidents or governments.
Amen.
Government is not my supplier.
Nope.
Our employers are not our supplier.
Amen.
Right?
No, no.
Jesus is.
Amen.
The Lord is. Where does our allegiance lie? Have we given Jesus our hearts? Are we fully trusting in him today? Are we running after him? Are we running after him, and are we seeking his glory, and are we seeking his kingdom, or are we just kind of getting by every day? I believe that we're called to be overcomers. I believe that we as Christ followers are called to rise above. I believe that we as Christ followers are called to love and to be a blessing to each other and to others. Take refuge in him. Praise God. Take refuge in him. Think about it. He's the one. When it's tough, when you can't handle it, he's the one we go to. He's the one we go to, and we take refuge. What is refuge? It's like a hiding place. It's that place where you can come and say, oh, I'm safe. That can't get me in here. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
And that's in his presence. That's when we go to him in prayer. But you know what? I was talking to the Lord on my way home and talking to myself. Anybody ever do that? I said, Lord, I love you. You're so awesome. Why am I so slow to come to you so many times?
Amen.
Maybe you can relate. There's some decisions that I don't ever even bring before him. He's awesome. And he's our refuge, and we're learning to take refuge in Him, aren't we?
Amen.
We're learning to run to Him. We're learning to seek Him. We're learning to just simply be with Him and enjoy Him. It's not only about doing. That's tough for those who are doers, right?
Yep.
It's also about being. It's about being His child and enjoying His presence. And that's when we get in His presence, we take refuge in Him, that He is our source, our strength. He is the one that protects us. Matter of fact, I shared a few weeks ago, I think on an evening service, we talked about the armor of God, how important the armor of God is. And that is from the Lord. He helps us. He's our refuge. He's the one that's there. And you know what? There might be difficult days ahead. Praise God. Because He's up to something, church. He wants to purify His bride. He wants the world to look to Him. Though many will not. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I hope you're hearing me this morning. I'm not speaking against anybody, but I am speaking for Christ. I am saying, draw near to Him. Set your face toward Him. Set your heart on Him. Pursue Him. Run after Him, because I believe that He's been running after us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And those friends that you have, those family members that you have that might not be serving Jesus right now, I believe that He's been running after them too.
Amen.
And you and I can't always see what God's doing behind the scenes. So trust Him. Believe in Him. Continue to pray for them. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I want to share a couple of things. The author of Hebrews writes, "And let us not neglect our meeting together." That's this. Don't neglect the meeting together as some people do. You know, there can be all kinds of excuses why you can't come to church. Mm-hmm. Now, if you'll allow me, I'm going to take a time out from there. I'm going to step aside for a second. If you're not coming to church because of Corona, I get it. Because of health reasons, I get that. But some didn't come to church long before Corona, or rarely came to church.
Yeah.
True.
This is a pastor's perspective. Okay? But let's look at what the rest of the verse says. And let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. How much more should we be gathering together to encourage one another, to celebrate, to lift Him up? How much more should we be doing that as that day gets a little bit closer and a little bit closer? Or that hour? I don't know when He's coming back. I'm not going to lie to you and say that I do. But it's exciting. Are we looking for Him to do that or not? So put aside the excuses. It's really quiet in here. It's real easy to make excuses, isn't it?
How are you?
I do it too, and I hate them. It's not neglect meeting together.
Right.
If you're sick, please stay home. So that we don't all have to shut down.
Amen.
Amen.
Never thought you'd hear a pastor say that, right? Not to come, but the fact still remains. That we're in the middle of all this. And you know what? I've just been trying to keep my eyes on Jesus in it. People are going to do what they're going to do. If you need to wear a mask, then by all means wear a mask. Just trying to run after Him. Trying to be an encouragement. Trying to be a blessing. Because we need this thing called the church.
Yes.
God established it. Man didn't.
Right.
Amen.
And this is... There's encouragement in it. It helps us to stay on the right track. And so let us not neglect it. Let us instead embrace it and encourage one another. Let us be an encouragement to each other as we seek the Lord and as we serve Him. Because it's so interesting, because around the room there's people in all stages of the journey. And that's just really cool to me, how some have been serving the Lord for many, many, many years. Others may have just started and are just barely getting into the Scriptures at all. And it's just really interesting how that all works. So let's not neglect meeting together. Some people are going to, but you need to make up your mind. And I would challenge you to set your heart on Christ. And some say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Yeah, I've heard that one. Maybe you have too. I think they're probably telling the truth. But it's only a partial truth. Because they're likely not growing like they should be.
No.
I love you still.
Praise the Lord.
Another one, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Again, we're pledging allegiance to Christ. We're dedicating our hearts and lives to Him. It's hard to do that when you're not at church, you're not around other believers to challenge. You know what? The Scripture tells us that he gifts everybody in the church basically for everybody else's benefit.
Yes.
So if you're not here, but God has given you a gift and you're supposed to be using it,
that's right.
Then nobody's getting the benefit of that. Right. I hope that's making sense to you this morning.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. I'm not just meddling. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Right?
That's right.
Can't serve two masters. For you will hate one and you'll love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other.
Yeah.
You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. You can't serve God and money. Understand that what I'm saying about this, I don't know if you give or if you don't give. I don't know how much you give in the offering at this church. I don't know, and I'll be real honest with you, as far as that goes, I don't care. What I do care about is that you're following the Lord, you're obeying Him, and you're living in His blessings.
Amen.
But some choose not to tithe. What's a tithe, Pastor? Tithe is 10% of what you make.
Yep.
10% of what you make. You give it to the government, why not give it to the Lord? But on that note, all of it's His in the first place.
Right.
All of it's His in the first place. It all belongs to Him. He just allows us to be stewards and managers of it for a while.
Yep.
So let us learn to be good stewards. Can't serve God and money. I just challenge you, as we pledge allegiance to Christ, basically our money kind of tells us where our allegiance is.
Amen.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Our money. If we track the money, you'll see what we care about. Yikes. In some cases, that's yikes. In other cases, that's a... It proves and shows that we have pledged our allegiance to Christ. And listen, I'm not saying everything's about money, because it's not. I hardly ever make a big deal of it, do I?
Nope.
I really don't. I try not to. I just trust in the Lord to do it. But at the same time, when He owns our hearts, guess what? He's going to own our wallet too.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be yielded to Him in that way.
That's true.
And say, all right, Lord, you said that? Yeah. Okay, you want me to give?
You bet. Yes.
And when our hearts belong to Him, then we're going to give toward the things that He cares about. And I'm always so encouraged when we have a missionary come. And again, I don't know who gives what, but they tell me, when they go back there and they count, our deacons and Sherry, they go back there and they count, and I go back there and say, okay, where are we at? Or if sometimes I don't make it back there, and they bring a check, and I always have to look at it because I want to know how much we're blessing them. And it's really encouraging. It's really encouraging to see. Normally we give around $400, maybe even $500 or $600 to a missionary, typically. Some have been less, some have been more. And that encourages my heart. Because you guys are saying, I believe in this. I want to encourage them. I want to sow into that because my allegiance is toward Christ. And this person I see clearly is wanting to serve Christ and reach others for His kingdom. That's always a blessing to me. So I might be preaching to the choir this morning. But I still challenge you. Pledge your allegiance to Christ today. Pledge your allegiance to Christ. My wife is going to come to the piano, keyboard, and she's going to play. Listen, here's what I want to do. I want to open up the altars for us to do that, just to devote ourselves to Him, to pledge our allegiance to Him, and dedicate our hearts to Him once again. Listen, you may have done it yesterday, but maybe the Holy Spirit's just challenging your heart today. Then let's do it again. Let's just pursue Him again. Let's run after Him today. Okay? She begins to play. Let's come out. Let's pursue the Lord. Let's seek Him this morning, dedicating our hearts to Him. Awesome. wasn't good. Father, I ask that you move on your people today. Thank you for these. And I ask that you would go with them. I ask that you would anoint them. And Lord, as we dedicate our hearts to you over and over again, Lord, we just want to build your kingdom. We want to see your kingdom advance. We want to see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, help us to be in line with what you're doing. Help us to be full of your Holy Spirit and walking in your grace, your love, and your mercy. Lord, help us to extend that to other people so that they could know you, so that they could know the truth, that they could understand who you are and receive of your love and grace. God, transform lives through us. Lord, we know it's all because of what Jesus did already. But God, use us to be those messengers. Use us to be your hands and feet, your mouthpiece today. In this life, we give you the praise. We thank you so much, God. Guide and direct every step. And it's all in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. If you're going to stay for Sunday school class, adult Sunday school class is through this door right here. Actually, through a couple doors. And be right there. We have